All right, all right, all right. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cjsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and list the podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF or 2573. This is Hawaii Ange Shechlech from the Intlakemch territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkana, BC, and I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And right now I'm sitting here solo, but we have a super awesome show coming up for you guys. The subject is on international law. We have some pretty awesome music from Extreme, Buckethead, Tina Turner, Helicon, Acoustic Trench, and Andre Antunes, hopefully, if we have enough time for them. And so we have our regular guests coming in also. We have Wegedesk, our high diving champion. We have our international law lawyer, Dr. Akvan, with a recorded interview. And also we have Celia, the president of Minnetonka Park Association, and also Lady Fahima coming up, the sister of Madam Ottawa. So let's get this started and get ready to rock and roll, everyone. Here's some Extreme, and the song is called Hashtag Rebel. So let's have a listen to that. Enjoy, everyone.
Yeah.
was Rebel by Extreme. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And we have our special high diving champion, Wegedesk, on the line with us. How are you doing, brother?
Glorious day to you, Chief, and everybody at Eagle Nation. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm super stoked today, Chief, because we get to send beautiful messages out to the people. So please, why don't we get this started? You know what we're going to do first, right?
Yes, let's do some deep breaths. And can you lead us through?
Absolutely. Okay, guys, let's get ready for three really good deep breaths. On the inhale, really try to connect emotionally with whatever is good and beautiful in your life. And when your lungs are super full of air, just let them go. That's the cleansing process. No energy or effort required. That's what's so cool about it. So let's relax our lips and relax our shoulders. Let's relax our bellies. And in 3, 2, 1, big inhale. Let's go. Big exhale. Yeah. And all the way in one more time. We got two more. And on this last one, let's really even go for an extra inhale at the very top.
Woo.
Yeah, that's super pure. I always feel much better after that.
Oh, yeah, man. You can really feel that oxygen hitting the brain and just going through all the body into our lungs and filling us with energy and power. And it's just an awesome day today. It's beautiful out there, sunny. And we have a special subject on international law. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about international law.
International law, that is such a great topic. And when I hear international law, there's that international is the first part, but actually national is what comes to my mind. What is the nation? You know, before we get into international and even law, in my opinion, the very first nation, the original nation, is the human body. The human body is the first accumulation of individual contributors that make a greater whole. All of our organs and our bones and our muscles, they're all totally separate and individual, but they all work together to create this one nation. So I really think that this immensely complex topic of international law could really probably be have a good foundation in the realm of the body and health, you know, and do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I bet you that's an international law, the golden rule, that whatever we are putting out into the world and whatever we are doing to the world is going to come back at us, maybe even more than once. Maybe it'll come back to us in experience and in, you know, some other form as well, just to really make sure that we're doing the right things in our world. So those types of things come to mind when I think of international law. And how about you? You recently talked to an international lawyer.
Yes, I did. And we have his interview, radio recorded interview, coming up next. And yeah, it was so empowering. I listened to one of his podcasts before, and it was just so, it filled me with a lot of hope and gave me the strength to carry on. And was so powerful that I was interested in following up and getting a hold of him and talking to him. And it was it was just so powerful that I wanted to continue and wanted to make a difference in this world. And just by listening to his podcast, it was so empowering just to know, like, you know, we have to use our voices to be able to get people involved in international law, which deals with genocide, with racism, with some really black sins in humanity that need to be brought to justice. And before all that, we have to use our voices. And that was one of the empowering things that I learned from this Dr. Akhvan, the international lawyer. And and I'm very grateful for Mr. Salar and Lady Faima for arranging this interview to happen, and also for Mr. Salar for introducing me to Dr. Akhvan. So yeah, it's a very interesting time. You know, the world is going through some suffering right now with, you know, the wars going on in the world, and these are all related to international law, and it's important for all of us to learn about it, know our own human rights, learn to speak up and protect ourselves, protect our families, our friends, those people around us, and even people in other parts of the world. So yeah, that's what I believe, and I'm looking forward to learning with everyone as we go through this program, and just be empowered and be able to use our own minds to use international law in a proper, positive way.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So,
I love it, Chief. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us and bringing us some of your wisdom and words, and always bringing us through our deep breaths. It's always an empowering part of our program, and just special. And we're looking forward to hearing from you again next week, and just continuing on our great show.
Lots of love to you, brother. Always a pleasure. And thanks to all the listeners as well. Keep the deep breaths going. Say your prayers. And lots of love to everybody. Bye for now.
Beautiful. Thank you. Bye for now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, from all over the world, that was Wegedesk, bringing us through our deep breaths, helping us be grounded to this world. And we have a recorded interview with Dr. Akhvan, and he's coming up next. But first, we're going to play a song for him to introduction of a very epic, important person in this world. And we're going to play Buckethead Groves, and let's have a listen to that, and we'll get on with our show. So listen and enjoy, everyone. right, we're back. That was Buckethead, and that was this song called Groves, and we played that for our interview, which was recorded earlier with Dr. Akvan, and he's a member of the Permanent Court of Arbitration at The Hague, and also a special advisor on genocide to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. So he's got super high credentials, and yeah, it was so special that he took the time to join us in an interview, and it was an international call, and yeah, from London. So have a listen, and enjoy, everyone.
First of all, I want to thank you and appreciate you for joining us here at CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. And we have our program here at Free Voices, and our main goal is to bring positivity and empowerment to our listener out there, and just bring them some good successful people and achievers, world achievers in this world, and bring that, their interviews of them, or just their talk of what made them so successful. And yeah, so we'd like to ask you, Dr. Akvan, what are your thoughts on international law, and what brought you into international law and human rights?
Thank you very much for this kind invitation. It's an honor to speak to the SFU campus community on this important topic. You know, when we think about international law, we have an image of universal values, human rights, world peace, but above all, a world which is regulated by law rather than violence, a world where might does not make right. So international law has been a long time in the making. If we look at our historical past, we see appalling cruelty and violence, wars, colonization, genocide, and a whole host of other evils. And we see that international law was born in the context of this violence. The first modern peace conference, which was held at The Hague in 1899, came at the conclusion of the devastating Napoleonic Wars. The League of Nations was created at the end of the First World War, which was supposed to be a war that would put an end to all other wars. And the United Nations Charter, the Nuremberg Tribunal, UN Universal Declaration on Human Rights in 1948, and all of these were born of the horrific excesses of the unprecedented radical evil of the Holocaust and what have you. So there is a dialectic relationship, in fact, between extreme violence and the ambitions that we have for a rule-oriented international order, where states all comply with international law. So in that sense, one who is more on the idealistic side of life would naturally be attracted to international law, whether as an academic discipline or as an area of practice. But as is often the case, once you actually become engaged with the real world outside of the academic bubble, then you begin to see the complexities, the difficulties, the challenge of moving from where we are today to the ideal image that we have of that future, where these universal values are not simply espoused as distant ideals, but are actually implemented in practice.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, pretty awesome. And in your work that you're doing now, are you fairly happy and pleased with what you're doing?
It's a very good question. The answer is a definite yes and no. In a sense, I'm very happy in this, that I chose a career in human rights. I began my career out of law school as a young United Nations prosecutor with the newly established International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia and The Hague. We have to remember that when I graduated in 1990, this was the end of the Cold War, and the Berlin Wall had collapsed. The Soviet Union dissolved literally overnight in 1991. So there was this great promise of a world that would be overtaken by a liberal democracy. Francis Fukuyama wrote about the end of history. So it was in that window of opportunity that the members of the UN Security Council, including the United States and Russia and France and the UK and China, had the political will to establish the first ever UN War Crimes Tribunal, the first such body since Nuremberg in 1945. So I happened to be in the right place at the right time, or depending on how you look at a career dealing with ethnic cleansing and genocide and all these horrible things, maybe I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I ended up playing a very significant role in building this historic institution and bringing back to life the long dormant promise of Nuremberg that after prosecuting the Nazis, we would move to a universal system of justice and not just this ad hoc court that was intended only to prosecute the Nazi leaders. Because throughout the Cold War era, from 1945 to the 1990s, we had Pol Pot in Cambodia, Mengistu in Ethiopia, Idi Amin in Uganda, and all these mass murderers committing these atrocities with impunity. So this was the beginning of the end of a culture of impunity. And as I became entangled more and more in this enterprise, I went from Yugoslavia to Rwanda following the 1994 genocide there. I worked with the UN in Guatemala, where I dealt with the genocide against the Mayan indigenous people, in Cambodia, where I looked at the crimes of the Khmer Rouge. I would go to northern Iraq during the genocide against the Yazidi Kurdish population by ISIS, the genocide of the Rohingya by me, recently was with the survivors in the refugee camps in neighboring Bangladesh. So getting back to your question, am I happy about what I do? Well, part of me is very pleased that at least I'm trying, perhaps in this world of indifference where people simply don't care about the suffering of others. We have a very narcissistic, materialistic, greedy culture. So I feel that it's my duty as a human being not to turn my back on those who suffer, to have empathy, to have a conscience, and to do what I can with my skill set, which happens to be in international law, to bring some measure of justice to these poor, voiceless people. But part of me also feels a sense of futility, because when you look at the injustice, at some point you feel that nothing that you do is enough. Nothing that you do can possibly undo the terrible things that these people have experienced. So, when people think about human rights work as being, glamorous, I always tell them there's anything but glamorous. You have a very strong resolve and constitution to spend more than 30 years of your life, as I have, dealing with the survivors deeply traumatized of these atrocities. not becoming cynical, not becoming burnt out, not suffering too much from, you know, PTSD, which today has become a very fashionable term. But in my days, when I was thrown in the middle of the war in former Yugoslavia by the UN, no one had any idea about the psychological consequences of being subjected to these sort of crimes. So in that sense, getting back to your question, part of me is very pleased that I've done this. Part of me is, you know, quite exhausted, which is why whenever I have an opportunity to speak to students, the next generation of leaders, including on your wonderful radio program, I like to tell people that the thing that gives me the greatest reassurance is to know that there will be a new generation of people that will take up the mantle and go out there and fight for justice. Because there is a feeling very often of loneliness that most people just don't care. And I want to just add here that caring is not about virtue, not about ideological posturing and finger pointing and this culture that we have created of demonizing this or that person and pointing the finger so that we feel good about ourselves. There is a very big distance with activism and paying, you know, lip service to all these platitudes, as opposed to really rolling up your sleeves and listening to the voice of people who suffer. And it doesn't matter whether it's a refugee camp halfway across the world or some injustice that happens halfway down the street from the SFU campus or wherever you happen to be on this planet. There are always people who suffer. There is always injustice, and therefore both a responsibility and an opportunity for us to make that basic decision. Do I